in Jesus' name. Let's stand today. Thank you to all the musicians and those that are laboring and serving. Your gifts are appreciated. I heard the music. I know they've been working with it, trying to make it better for you. And all the gifts in the church are trying to do better. Thank you very much. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 17. You know, I think it's okay. I know it's small print, but I'm going to leave it on the screen and just let us speak today on this that's on Brother John's heart.
Amen.
Romans 10, 13 to 17. Is everyone feeling okay?
Yes. And
for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
Right.
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
Yeah.
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
And how shall they preach except they be sent?
That's right.
And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I just think it's really beautiful to hear the gospel of peace.
Thank you, Lord.
And to hear the good tidings of good things.
Thank you, Jesus.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?
Mm-hmm.
So then faith cometh by hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
How many would say, Lord, help my hearing?
Yes, amen.
And it's not talking about just these ears.
Yes,
and getting a better hearing aid if we suffer. But it's actually having a word hearing, an ability to hear the word of God. That's where faith comes. You could read your Bible, pray every day. You could be in seminary and go to sleep with your Bible. But and you still might not be hearing. God help us to hear your word today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You can have your seats.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Help us, Lord.
Yes.
And I'm including all of our children, young people, babies, and middle-aged up to the older generation, that God help us today as we've entered into another season. As we transition into another season now of the message and of the word. It's very, very clear in Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Not just talking. We haven't come together to just talk about the message. We haven't even come together as a church to rally around all the things that we agree on. That's not it. We're here to hear the word of God.
Amen.
Jesus talked to Peter and said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. So we're under authority to speak the word of God.
Amen.
Today I'm going to be speaking clearly and saying some things very, I want you to be listening. Please lean forward in your chair. I promise I won't be long. I'll let you out in a nice time. We only have a few minutes of our Sunday mornings to share what the Lord put on our hearts.
Right.
But we are in a season of rapturing faith.
Right.
We're in a season of perfect faith.
Right.
This is a season of rapturing grace. Where now you have put on his name of grace. You have received mercy. As Brother Solomon said, thank you for your mercy. Then there ought to be a group of people that's received grace.
Yes.
They've received mercy.
Praise God.
But it's not just a mercy and a grace or a forgiveness to keep us on the earth through a time of a tribulation. You're not going to hear that across this pulpit of always preparing food and gathering milk and gathering water and getting spam food and building a bomb shelter. You know, friends, our safety is in Jesus.
Yes.
And we need perfect forgiveness.
Yes.
As we've been hearing in the message, perfect faith. Before you can have faith, you've got to forgive.
Yes.
And you must receive the forgiveness of God.
Yes.
For your sins.
Yes.
Are we all together?
Yes.
You must receive the forgiveness of your sins from the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
That's first base, friends. If we're not at first base yet, we need to forgive and ask God to forgive us of our sins. But I'm speaking about perfect forgiveness, where if that has happened for you, You can give it to someone else. I'm speaking about perfect love today, as I've already mentioned it from our prophet's message, that perfect love don't go around hurting nor being hurt. So we're living in the capstone hour. We're living in a time that we're not in the foundation. I was just reading from my personal devotion this morning. This isn't my message, but Hebrews chapter 6 talks about let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations, and just talking about all the elementary things. And Paul talks about it. Baptism, laying on of hands, forgiveness. This is what he said about talking about the resurrection. And I looked that up in the book of Acts. And you know, even in the book of Acts, there was disputes. You know, was there a resurrection? Is there a resurrection? What Paul was saying in Hebrews 6 is, let us go on to perfection and not allow all those squabbles and this and that. Let it not become church drama. Don't let it become message drama. Let's move on. We're not babies anymore. We're not in a baby stage. We have come to the age of adoption, where sons and daughters are coming to full age. Let us go on to maturity. Let us go on to the capstone. I encourage every person in this church that the days of spiritual childhood is over. Babiness and being offended, hurt feelings should be over. Amen. We are ending the seven church ages. Amen. They are ending. We are in a bride age. And we could be sitting right in this building today, and somebody in Laodicea and somebody right next to them could be in the bride age. Yeah. So I'm speaking about in an atmosphere, a heavenly atmosphere, which this is what I'm speaking is on adoption and on what Paul said, let us go on to this place. And the heavenly places is the believer's position in Christ. Only those with the Holy Ghost are going in the rapture. I'm laying a lot on you, but I could just say each one of these things I'm saying could choke some people, but you're of age now, so I'm not even going to say I'm sorry. Only those with the Holy Ghost are going in the rapture. We must have oil in our lamps. Amen. We must have the Holy Ghost. Yeah. We're living in a time of Revelations 10, where now it's gone from the mighty angel to William Branham, the earthly angel, to now the bride that's been feeding off of this message for years and years. Yeah. We have been eating off of a mature word for years. That ought to produce a people that's ready for the rapture. Yeah. I hope everyone's awake today. You know what's happening in Israel. They're going through birth pains. But one day when the bride leaves here, Moses and Elijah is going to come there to Israel. There's 144,000 predestinated Jews.
Amen.
12,000 out of every tribe. Not 11,000 out of one and 9,000 and 13 out of one. No, no. There's 12,000 out of every single tribe. And what's happening globally, it is driving the real predestinated back to their ought to be place. I want to say we have arrived. What the saints yearn for, and what even Brother Branham longed to see, a church rising on the earth. I'm trying to go to the next slide, if you could help me. Oh my, and this is perfect faith. Could you compare a Christian today with them Christians of long ago? How them disciples walked in the power of the Spirit. I'm bringing this to End Time Message Tabernacle. If everyone could find your place in the sanctuary, that would be appreciated. Those that are could hear, please. The disciples walked in the power of the Spirit. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. Just a prisoner, as I preached on the other night. He was talking about Paul, a prisoner. A prisoner to the word and will of God. He couldn't even move until God moved him. Wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that? I wonder if there's someone here that would say, my, I'm thirsty. I'm groaning, Brother John, to see a mature church rise where we're prisoners to the word and will of God. Where we wouldn't even move until God moved us. And then he said, it's going back. It's got to come. It's on its road now.
Amen.
I believe.
Amen.
Friends, I'm quoting out of the message that was for September for our little church.
Amen.
Have you enjoyed this?
Yes.
I thank Brother Yasek for delivering them to us. And now these books for October are on the book in the foyer. If you don't have the token message, this is the message out of November coming right now into October for us as a church. But this is the token message out of November. So this is now us putting the word into the box. If we want to see a church like that raise up, and notice it's capital C, not just a local church, not just a little group of people, but a bride globally. And I would like to see it here in Bellingham, where you had men and women worshiping together. I would love to have a church that was really rising to where the word had preeminence. I would love to have it around it in my family and my loved ones and people that I associated with. That he saw it was on the road, but I believe that we could say it has arrived.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to come to this at the near the middle of the service, but this on the left is the seven peaks that the voice showed Brother Branham out in Montana as he was traveling down the road, and the three pools of his ministry. Notice how there's three that are higher, and he talked about the times that he had to go out of the ministry or things that went on in his life. But I wanted to bring End Time Message Tabernacle into the picture today. We must come into a third pool faith.
Amen.
And anyone that is spiritual and that has spiritual discernment can sense the changes that we're going through.
Yes.
You ought to be able to sense the spiritual thermometer, and we can see it in the world.
Amen.
And it's even creeping in the ranks of the message.
Yes.
Where people are not hot anymore. They're not as spiritual as they used to be. There's just a feeling amongst the people. Things have changed. I want to ask you before we go to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to ask you some questions. What you have believed all these years, where has it taken you spiritually? What has it done for you? And I'm really digging down deep right here. What has the message done in your life? I've got to be able to say that. Anybody that ministers or is a leader must be able to say, as you partake of the message and you're looking inwardly, ought to be a humble person. Ought to be able to not be looking down on others. But what has the message done in our lives? The message is a person.
Amen.
Can the church say amen?
Amen.
The message is a person of Christ.
Yeah.
So what has Christ done for you? And are you more in love with Him today?
Yes.
Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 11, please. And I would like everyone that has a Bible to turn to this. I wanted to show you in Hebrews chapter 11 as I just kind of get our comments that we've spoken earlier just off of our hearts a little bit, and we dig a little bit deeper into the meat now of the service.
Praise God.
Third pull faith.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to notice Paul saying faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's not an imagination. It's not a feeling. It's not a feel-good feeling. Faith is the substance. What was our opening scripture? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing of the Word of God. Not a comic book. Not the daily news. Not your checkbook or your finances. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
And it's not the minister's opinion. It's not what he says before and after the quote. It is the word that should be the absolute. Grab a hold of it today. Faith cometh by hearing. Perfect faith comes by hearing the word. And you become the word as you hear the word. Friends, that's why it is so important that we be hearing the word of God. And you cannot have perfect faith without the Holy Ghost. It is so important. We must receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Brother Branham taught that in this message, perfect faith.
Yes.
The disciples did not have perfect faith. That's why he could talk to them and he gave them power, but they did not have perfect faith. They needed to come to the upper room and receive the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Are we all together?
Yes.
I feel like some of you are listening really good, but I need to make sure. The disciples did not have perfect faith.
Amen. Yes.
Until they came to the upper room, until they became established in what Jesus was trying to speak to them, became real in their own experience.
Yes.
Listen real close today. Thank you for listening. Hebrews 11 speaks about the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith,
yes,
the elders obtained a good report.
Amen.
Verse 3, I circled, through faith. Through faith. You're going to read this all through Hebrews 11. By faith. Through faith. In faith. We understand that the worlds were framed. What was the worlds framed by? Somebody say it today. I know it's Sunday morning, but we can respond and speak back and forth. Hallelujah. You know, a mother, you know, Sister Becca, you might say, stop back talking me to one of your boys. Stop talking back. Well, I'm saying talk back to me. Amen.
Amen.
It's not good to talk back to your parents. Don't speak back to your parents. But the minister's saying, just speak back to him. Say amen or say, yes, Lord. Or I believe that. I understand what you're saying. The worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'm going to go quickly now.
Amen.
Verse 4, what does it say? By faith.
Yes. Yes.
Verse 5, what does it say?
By faith.
By faith. Debbie, by faith.
Amen.
By faith.
By faith.
Brother Michael, all of us by faith.
Amen.
Sister Childers, by faith.
Amen.
Verse 6, I highlighted it on the screen.
Yes.
But without faith,
yes,
it is impossible to please him.
Yes.
So not good works.
Right.
Not providing coal for the widow. Not doing good things in the message.
Right.
No, friends, that's not going to... It just doesn't make it. It doesn't cut the grade. We realize you can do all of these things.
Right.
Thank you, Brother Matt, for watching the air. If it gets a little warm, please turn on a little air. Amen.
Amen.
My, we're in the season of the year. We have air conditioning in one day and heat in the same day.
Yes.
Let's not be complainers. Let's say thank you, Lord, for a church building.
Amen.
Watch how serious this is. And I take this personal.
Yes.
Without faith, it is impossible,
Jesus,
to please him.
Yes.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is why I ask you to keep your Bible open. Verse 7, what does it say?
By faith.
By faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham.
Yes.
Verse 9, by faith. Verse 11, through faith.
Through faith.
Speaking about Sarah, which is a type of you.
Yes.
Verse 13, these all died in faith. These all died in faith.
Yes.
Faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
Hearing of the word of God.
God.
Verse 17, what does their Bible say?
By
faith. By faith. Verse 20, by faith.
Yes.
Isaac. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith.
Yes.
Are you getting the picture?
Yes.
We need faith.
Amen.
What kind of faith? Mental faith?
No.
Perfect faith.
Amen.
How does faith come, Brother John? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. How can we have perfect faith if we're not hearing a perfect word?
Amen.
That's what Brother Tim Washlegger was emphasizing before the psalm.
Amen.
Perfect word produces perfect faith.
Praise God.
I need the congregation to be with me.
Yes.
Perfect word produces perfect faith.
Praise God.
Diluted down mental word produces what? Something down here.
Yes.
Backslidden, lukewarm, worldly.
Yes.
always offended, always drama, always doing things that's questionable. It's time to start saying, Lord, not just from across the pulpit, but Monday, Tuesday, let there be word, Lord. I'm hearing the word. Perfect faith comes by hearing a perfect word. Let there be something rise. Come up higher today. Talking about it isn't good enough. Right. Just quoting it ain't good enough. No. We hear the word, we've got to act on the word. Amen. All of these brothers and sisters, verse 22, by faith, Joseph. I'm rewarding everyone that brought your Bible. Amen. We're not putting it on the screen right now. By faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses.
Amen.
Verse 24, by faith, Moses. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. How many know Egypt's a type of the world?
Yes.
So the bride walks by faith, lives by faith.
Amen.
Doesn't just quote the word, she is the word.
Yes.
So we've got to say, verse 27, by faith, we've got to forsake Egypt. Not fear, you know, friends, we've got to be able to endure all of these things that I'm speaking. Verse 28, through faith.
Yeah.
I put this on the screen at the bottom of my notes, Hebrews 11. Watch this, by faith, through faith,
yes.
In faith.
Amen.
Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down.
Yes.
Verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not.
Praise God.
Don't accuse any of us by being a feminist or woman beaters, or we're not on none of that. There's sons and daughters that are in the message that are coming to adoption.
Yes.
By faith, Rahab, by faith, all these brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness.
Yes.
Did everyone get the message?
Yes. Yes.
Through faith.
Amen.
Now I'm bringing it quickly up to our generation. In the last years of the message, Brother John knows exactly where I'm standing.
Amen.
Under this message, under this,
hallelujah,
we have received a commission,
yes,
to become the word for our day.
Amen.
What has it produced after all these years?
Yep.
What has it produced in End Time Message Tabernacle?
That's it.
Amen.
I want to say today is the day to make a further commitment to the Lord.
Amen.
This is not skim milk.
Amen.
We're not passing pacifiers around. We don't agree with having cliques in the church.
Right.
That is not godly. People that are like that are not spiritual people. We cannot be that way.
Amen.
Oh, God, help us today. I'm also speaking as a burden, brother, for you and I, that we've got to go further.
Amen.
When I listened to the message of Brother Branham, especially as he went toward the end after the seals, souls in prison now, and hear the groaning and him crying out in front of his own congregation, that he had children that were not saved. He had family, and it drove him to a personal desperation.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Even today, we don't see a lot of people accepting salvation. I'm going back even to our little church and what's been done through the Lyndon Booth or by this witnessing or that effort and different things that we've done to invite family or invite friends or others off the street.
Yeah.
Go to the highways and the byways.
Right. Yeah.
But there are very few that are genuinely being converted.
Yes, that's true.
There are very few. Brother John travels the world. You know that. Very few in our meetings that are being filled with the Holy Ghost and genuinely born again.
Yeah.
I woke up the other day and it was the Holy Spirit and talking to me and encouraging my heart. We can see the Holy Spirit lifting off the earth.
Yeah.
We can see God's heart turning to Israel.
Yeah.
That is the next revival. That is the next sweep. It's going to be the bride is going to be changed and leave the earth. But God's heart is already turning to the Jews. Brother John sees how shallow people are living. I see how shallow they show that by their attitude,
right,
by their responses, by their reactions. And my cry today is, God help all of us.
Amen.
God help all of us, Lord, to allow the word to cut and shape us. Just a few more comments before I go into a quote at the end of Perfect Faith. I was sharing this with Brother Steve in the back room, this quote of Brother Branham. But I just want to challenge you just a little bit with us that are within the message. We cannot rightfully claim to be born again and hate other people. You cannot rightly claim, and I'm going to go slowly, and I mean what I'm saying.
Yes.
I have this in my notes. You cannot claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak evil of other people. You cannot say that you are an adopted son, an adopted daughter of God. You cannot claim that God has sanctioned your life and given you the authority of the word and always be causing trouble,
right,
causing division, hurting other people.
Right.
There's always drama around you, always drama around your life. You cannot claim that you are an adopted son and a daughter of God under the message of the hour,
right,
and born again and hate other people.
Right.
I don't believe your testimony.
Right.
Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your name is, if it's me, someone in my family, or in your family. Friends, it's got to come down. I know it gets squeaky sometimes, but if we claim to have been born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, we will not be a troublemaker.
Amen.
I'm asking us today, are we ready for the rapture?
Amen.
To the Jews, there's 144,000 chosen ones.
Yes.
And no enemy can kill those people.
Hallelujah.
No missile, no drone, no airplane.
Yes.
But now I'm speaking to the bride. There's an unknown amount of people that makes up the bride of Christ. Am I doing okay?
Yeah.
Have I choked anybody? I don't want to hold you under the water either. I know those waters to swim in, but we got people that are still on the kiddie pool in, and I'm going to throw you out a life preserver sometimes. And you know, you can, you know, scream and yell and we'll give you a little attention, but I'm also saying, come on out to the deeper water, church.
Yes.
Very few are going to be part of the bride.
Yeah.
I've just got to say that. I've got to say that it's time to humble ourselves, open up to the Lord, and just let His word and let His mind today really. Where do we sit with the Lord today?
Right.
In the statue of a perfect man, and I didn't put it on the screen, but where are we really sitting today with the Lord?
Yes.
I think I brought it to your attention that Brother Branham, I think I need to breathe a little bit.
Praise God.
Some of us heavy, you know.
Amen.
Some might leave our church over some of these things, but I got to go deeper. Amen.
Amen.
I brought it to your attention in the Perfect Faith where Brother Branham was talking about perfect faith and that if you had perfect faith, you would have no need of coming up in the prayer line.
Right.
I'm quoting. He said, what are you standing here for? Your very actions prove that you haven't got what you're talking about.
Right.
Then throughout the whole message, he talked about the prayer line.
Right.
And the prayer line. Then he had a prayer line and he allowed 171 people, I counted them, to go through the prayer line.
Right.
It didn't last 2 and 3 hours like people are doing in the message today. It lasted for 9 minutes. And anybody today, if Brother Branham was in the building and there was about 400 people, maybe more, a little more in the Branham Tabernacle that was present there. I know, I was raised there. I'll show you a photo in a few minutes of the tabernacle, about 400 plus people. So about 50% of the people went through that line. I think if Brother Branham was having a prayer line, it'd probably be maybe 100% want to go through the line.
Yeah.
That's the prophet. He's got a gift and he's speaking a message on perfect faith.
Yes, praise God.
He had just said, don't come up here. If you had perfect faith, you wouldn't come up here. Then he closes, right before the prayer line, he says, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Brother John's aware that many people stream our service, so I know exactly what I'm saying.
Amen.
I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ that you come not in this line unless you feel that you've got perfect faith.
Right.
So Brother Branham is not speaking confusion.
Right. Amen.
I'm trying to help our little church to understand. Amen. Brother Branham said if you had perfect faith, you would receive the word of God and you wouldn't always need hands laid on you. That's what Paul said, laying on of hands and all these things, that we're not raising a church just always needing a minister, always needing the guest preacher, always needing the evangelist or someone to lay hands on me. That I receive the word of God.
Yes.
He is my healer.
Hallelujah.
Whether it's mental, whether it's physical or spiritual, I don't need a prayer altar line. I'm receiving the word. As I receive the word, I become the word. I can repent right in my chair.
Amen.
Brother John's not against altar calls. I'm not against prayer lines.
Right.
Don't twist my words and don't get a misunderstanding. I'm talking about third pull faith.
Amen. Praise God.
Raising now in the message.
Yes.
Raising a generation that will take God at His word. Brother Branham has the prayer line. It's for 9 minutes long. And he makes sure everybody that wants to go through. Then he makes these things that are so powerful. Now, you that are writing notes, this one slide is powerful. I wonder if we can just say, God, help us this morning to walk in this third pool. This is August 1963.
Right.
This is coming into that third pool.
Right.
I'm believing it. This is what we've waited for. This is just starting to bloom.
Amen.
Sister Victoria could probably give us a little lesson on something when it starts to be planted, come up, and then it starts to bloom.
Amen.
It takes time. It's not all instant.
That's right.
It starts to bloom. Now, I did this for a purpose. It's talking about the prayer line, talking about ministering on perfect faith. I'm working out something.
Yep.
Yes.
I would hope after 60 years, it's been worked out.
Yep.
I hope after 60 years in the message, we have some hardy believers that believe in the message of the hour.
Amen.
That's not pulled by signs and wonders and visions. You don't need someone to tell you your address and your name.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe that would stir you. Woo! He knows my name. Well, we sing the song.
Yeah.
But what has that done for you?
Right.
What does it do for your character? What kind of character has it produced in the people that are hearing the message?
Right.
It's taking this charge of faith and going right back to begin and come in, see, to kind of raise. Let's all say raise. Faith in a bracket where you've never noticed it that way before.
Amen.
So it's not the same oh, same oh.
Yeah. Amen.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's not recooking something that we learned or rehashing.
Right.
Faith cometh by hearing.
Yes.
Hearing the word of God.
Yes.
What is present tense for today?
Amen.
Then you take that home to your family. Daddies, mommies, young people are listening.
Yes.
Children are wondering, what's going on in our services?
Amen.
Do we just have a bunch of hypocrites? Do we just have people that, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, Brother John has pastored before. I've been in a lot of meetings. Sometimes the loudest amens are the biggest hypocrites.
Yeah, that's right.
And please don't let that stifle your amens. I'm making a very strong point that sometimes people that seem to be so revelated are the most carnal.
Yeah, that's true. Amen.
Say, what does that make you to do, Brother John? Point fingers. It says, Lord, help me, God. What am I hearing in church? What am I saying amen to, Lord, that I'm not able to bring that into my life?
Amen.
Where am I failing? Where am I tripping up, Lord?
Yeah.
Because he wanted to move us into a bracket.
Yes.
Amen.
Remember, the winners move on to another bracket.
Yeah.
Not lose, not just people that get overwhelmed by drama or by politics or your family strains or your sicknesses.
Yeah.
I speak to you in the name of the Lord. Perfect faith
yeah.
in your own heart could speak something out of existence.
Yeah.
Not the pastor, not the preacher, but you begin to lay hands on your sick loved ones. You begin to text things that are positive.
Amen.
You begin to talk to one another by the word of God.
Yes.
It's not the pastor having 2-hour and 3-hour meetings.
Right. Yeah.
It's the congregation having maturity in the word themselves.
Yes.
Not a faith,
but
a perfect faith.
Yes,
can I ask you today, who wants that bracket?
Yes.
Who wants perfect faith? Yes. To build it up in here, watch. A perfect God with a perfect heart. Keep a perfect promise by his perfect word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword.
Yes.
And discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen.
And for many years, when people hear about a sword, they kind of cringe. Because they've been taught people use the sword to really prove their point and put people in line. And that's not the message.
No, that's right.
The sword is the word. It is
Amen.
In the hands of a person that has the nature of Christ. Listen, hear me out.
Yes.
The sharp sword of the Spirit in the hands of someone that's spiritual can set you free.
Hallelujah.
It can talk to you about delicate things because we all see things differently. And we're not all looking at the same side of the mountain. And God has called us to be who we are. And no one can take your place. My, I think finally after 3 years, we're getting a church that loves the word. Amen. We're all looking at it from a different perspective. But God's made us that way. And we can't say this brother or that sister, they're looking at it and they're always bent that way, that they're wrong. They're not part of the family. Unless you see it my way. No, God's made us different. Let me go back to our scripture and what Brother Branham's saying here. This sharp, two-edged sword. But in the heart of a real godly sister that can be a friend or a prayer warrior. Or in the hands of a brother, in the hands of a teenager, could be a mighty example. I need to move on. We're coming now to the perfection. Because the people has to come to this in order. For the rapture. We're coming to perfection. And perfection is maturity. It is not a sinless perfection. This people have stumbled over this for years in the message. And they hear messages like invisible union. You've been justified. I know what I'm talking about. I've been in meetings where people have just standing and cheering. And hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we are justified like I never did it. And go right out that week and be stumbling over areas in their lives. They didn't get it. Perfection is not sinless perfection. That after you receive Christ that you're not going to make mistakes. Who taught you that? Who taught you that?
Right.
I'm not putting fingers on people. I'm asking you because I've already started the service that if you've been offended, if you've been hurt, or if you've gone through things, it's time to rise above that.
Amen.
It's time to where the people has to come to this.
Yes.
And Brother John is preaching on third pull faith.
Praise.
We have to come to this.
Amen.
For the rapture.
Amen.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
That's what's holding it away right now.
Yes.
Is waiting for that church to come to that perfect raptured faith.
Yes.
Looking for it. This is Brother Branham at the end of the perfect faith saying, I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
Whew. Then he says this. This includes every person. It means a lot of shaving down for me. Wow, if we had more pastors that would say that. Shaving down for me, it means a lot for you, but together.
Yeah.
Let's all say together.
Together.
We'll make it by.
Amen.
The kind of church we go to.
No.
The doctrines we say we, no, friends. Where have we gone wrong like that? Together we'll make it by the grace of God. God's shaving down. God's chipping off. God's taking away.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking to really good people. I'm speaking to many of you that some have been raised in the message. Some have been for a long time in the message. Some of you are even older than me. This isn't my message.
Amen.
I've been speaking about rising above discouragement and dealing with discouragement, being strong and of a good courage.
Amen.
That is the very spirit of the scripture.
Right.
It was in Deuteronomy when Moses was speaking and the Lord was speaking now to Moses, be strong and of a good courage, be strong and of a good courage.
Yes.
He's handing off the baton.
Yes.
He's transitioning.
Yes.
From the law to grace,
yes.
From Moses to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage.
Yes.
I'm not going to preach this again. I'm just letting you know it's in the same vein.
Praise
to be
God.
Strong, be courageous, be able to withstand and have good courage.
Yes.
And we ask the question, is there bad courage?
Yes.
Absolutely. It's called discouragement.
Yes.
So anything that would be in your life, that would be discouraging you away from what God is trying to bring you into, you really need to examine that by the Holy Spirit and say, God, I need to be of good courage today. If I'm sick, Lord, you are my healer. But if you take me away and it's my time to go, I want to make everything right and I want to be ready to go. But I am having good courage today. I'm not going to believe the devil's lie. Be strong. Display strength. Stand when you've done all to stand. Now Joshua is hearing from the voice of the Lord. Joshua 1, be strong and have a good courage. Verse 7, verse 9, be strong and have a good courage. I don't have time to turn to it, but Joshua 1:18 is actually the people speaking back to Joshua. This is incredible.
Praise God.
This is now from Moses to Joshua, which is a type of the Holy Spirit, to the congregation. This is incredible. The people, the congregation, wanted to say, be strong and of a good courage. That's exactly the order of apostolic doctrine. It ought to come from the prophet to the ministry into the people to where the people begin to be one. It all becomes homogenized into one thing. And now you find Joshua speaking to them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage.
Amen.
Is everybody doing okay?
Yes.
It's not just Joshua quoting Moses.
That's it, brother.
It's not just Joshua quoting Moses.
Yeah.
It is the Holy Spirit in Joshua.
Hallelujah.
Saying the same thing. Be strong and of a good courage. I'm asking the church today, what has come into your testimony? What is coming out of your mouth? What are you saying to one another through the week?
Come on.
That's right,
it's not pulpit ministry. It's now the people, the bride, having third pull faith.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
This went further, and I don't have time to really speak about David and his son Solomon, but I am here to say that in times of transition is usually where the baton is dropped. David could have had a real bad attitude and said, after all I've done for you.
My goodness.
He could have went right through the, didn't I kill the bear? Didn't I kill the lion? Didn't I kill Goliath? And God's saying, no, you're not going to build the sanctuary.
Yeah.
You have blood on your hands.
Right. Yeah.
David, throughout your life, I appreciate what you did in the message.
Yes.
But it's always swords and killing, and you've got blood on your hands.
Right.
We've got to transition into a ministry that can bring peace for the people to receive the millennium.
Amen. That's wonderful. Yeah.
And what was his attitude? What was his spirit? It was be strong and of a good courage.
Amen. Amen.
So the question today, as we look a little bit at this further, what is the third pull, Brother John? Here you're getting down to almost noon, and you've been speaking about third pull faith, and that we've got to have it.
Yeah.
And the first pull is healing, sign in the hand or the body.
Right.
Second pull is prophesying, discernment, which touched the spirit. But the opening of the word, the third pull, is for the soul realm.
Amen.
It's the deeper part. It's the high, it's the bracket that we need to come into.
Hallelujah.
The third pull does not do away with first pull, second pull.
Right.
Yep. That's right.
Because right up to the change of our bodies, there's going to be issues in our bodies. Sicknesses in our spiritual realm, in our minds. People battle that and kind of get ashamed or embarrassed. You don't need to be ashamed or embarrassed. We all have our battles. We all have our crosses. We all have deficiencies or areas where we lack today. But I'm preaching to you, the third pull is in the soul realm. I'm bringing you an encouragement today. End time message tabernacle. It's not just in the Bible. It's not just Brother Branham's three pulls of his ministry. You must come to a place of faith where the third pull is being activated within your life. Not my mommy, not my daddy, but the preacher or the prophet. There's a lot I could say there, but I need to make sure I deliver the word today. In a way that you can go home and it can be encapsulated in your heart.
Yes.
Praise God.
I know that we've come into another time.
Yes, sir.
I know that people aren't going to sit for 2 and 3 hours and hear a preacher. They shut down. It's the time we're living in.
Yeah.
We've become a people, whether you have the Holy Ghost or not, where we're people that's controlled by time and element and swipe and hit, and we become that way. That's why we need to break out of that when it comes to the Word of God and say, Lord, help me, Lord. Bypass my mind. Bypass my spirit. Bypass my body. Just go to that third realm, Lord. Lord.
Amen.
Brother Branham was trying to approach this with his own tabernacle and serves as this the time in December. Then he comes into January and he goes to where the sword of the king, this is now in Arizona. He's moving his family to Arizona. Then as the angels appear to him there in Arizona, there in February, March, the angels of the Lord was appearing to a prophet saying, go back east, go back. And bring the opening of the word. But I want to go back to January. I know this is very elementary to some of you. But just listen. Stay with me now.
Yeah.
Are you staying with me?
Yeah.
The sword of the king. The sword. The word that came in Brother Branham's hand was discharged.
Yeah.
It's already been spoken for a generation.
Right.
There has to be someone raised up today that can take that king's sword and say, I have become the word for my day. We've got to be able to go like this and say, Lord, cut me hither and thither, coming and going. Take away all the desires, all my deficiencies, all the weaknesses, Lord. If it's me, something in my family, something in our church, Lord, just take it out of my life. This is in the Sunday night as he's coming into the seven seals, the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals. He begins to talk about the sword, something striking his hand, and he begins to describe it and how it was and the dueling like they would use like that. And he began to look at it and talk about how pretty it was and how it fit his hand. And the voice said, it's the sword of the king.
Yeah.
Not a king, but the king.
Amen. Yeah.
And he only has one sword.
Yes.
And that's his word.
Amen.
And don't fear. I have it on the screen. This is that third pull.
Hallelujah.
So we've gone first pull, second pull. Now it's time for the third pull. Third pull. We begin to talk about impersonators. My, how Brother John could talk about this being raised in the message and hearing of things all over the world. They've come and they've gone. Great surges, great moves. Many of them, there was money mixed in and big personalities and people followed men and people followed certain churches, choirs, singing. They made huge things about their music program. And literally today, it's all fallen apart. It's because the word wasn't the main thing. But he was talking about the third pull. This is the third pull, and I'll meet you there. And he talked about the little fishies and the little baby shoe. He was trying to make your first pull and the fish will run after that. Then watch your second pull because there'll only be small fish. Then he said, then the third pull will get it.
Yep.
Yes.
There's always little fish. There's always people that are running after this, and I need a sign, or I need a word. I need a word from the Lord, Brother John. But maybe you'll have a dream. Maybe we can have a fleece. Maybe I'll try a fleece, you know. Can anybody show me in the Bible where that happened over five times, where there was a fleece mentioned in the Bible? I'm being honest.
Right. Yep.
Can anybody show me over five times in the Bible where there was men or women put a fleece out before the Lord? Right. Said in the morning, if it's all dry, but this is wet.
Right.
Oh, okay, Lord, you did that. Thank you. Okay. Now, Lord, I really need to know if it's you. In the morning, if this is all dry, but everything else is wet, then I'll know it's you. Show me more than five times in the Bible.
No.
It's not there.
That's right.
Because though that God did it here, God did it there, that's not the focus today. I'm focusing on the third pool.
Yeah.
And he talked about ministers and preachers. That's where you always got into trouble. It's the same today. He started talking about Pentecostal babies, and you can't teach them supernatural things. Just let them alone, he said. He's talking about in that tent, in that cathedral. I'll meet you there. This will be the third pool.
Yes.
I'm not offending anybody by raising my voice.
No, wonderful.
Is everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
He's talking about the third pool, the secret place.
Yeah.
It's not a public show. It's not for your nanny and your granny and your pappy. It's for you.
Hallelujah.
Say, well, if my husband don't go, I'm not going. Shame on you.
Yeah.
So if my wife don't go, my children don't go, then Brother John, I feel all alone. Look, there's great backslidings. There's great fallings away. People are leaving left and right. Are you really going to let that shake you?
No.
Where is the generation that'll say, I'm a third pool believer. I have faith for the rapture, Brother John. I see the Lord's making it clear. I've got to make that rapture.
Yeah.
And Lord, some of you today need to say this. Lord, if you can't do this, then I certainly can't do this. I can't even pull myself up if I wanted to. It's going to take you, Lord.
Yeah.
But I humbly submit to you, Lord.
Yeah.
This is coming up into that third pool. This is Brother Branham speaking in the opening of the seven seals, coming into it.
Yeah.
It's later than we think.
Yeah.
So let me take a step back. Brother Branham's in Arizona, received that sword.
Yeah.
That was vindication for his ministry. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you need to have a literal sword, or you need to... People pray for things, they ask for things, and sometimes the Lord lets them speak in tongues.
Yeah.
Sometimes the Lord will show them a vision.
Sure.
Sometimes the Lord will move on a minister and he'll come out and say something about you personally, but that's not going to hold you in your time of trouble.
Yeah.
God needs men and women that aren't just babies and pacifiers and looking to the pulpit and, oh, I've got to have the pastor's phone number. What are you going to do when the satellites are broken and when California's come going and being crushed under a tidal wave?
Right.
Is this the way to lose members in a church, Brother Mark? Am I Brother John doing classic things? No, this is the kind of church we want.
Amen.
Where is that sword now? It's in your hands.
Amen. Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God.
And don't come to me with all your theological message quotes and things. I know exactly where we're at, friends. God's looking for a generation that can say, the word is in my hands.
Amen.
And don't just hold up a message book. Say it's ink and it's paper and it says the token. That's good. But we need more than ink and paper.
Right.
We need more to say, I finished perfect faith and I went through it twice. I went through it three. We need to say, do I have perfect faith?
Yeah.
Well, you say, I'm coming. That's not bad. Sounds like the little lady. I'm not where I used to be, not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be, or whatever. You all know that. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm going there, Lord.
Amen.
And Lord, put me in the wagon where we need to go.
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
I'll be honest with you. I don't want some of your revelations. I don't want what some of you got. I'm being serious. From what I've heard and what I've seen, I want more than that. I've got to have a bride that is here. God wants a bride that is 100% on His word. Not I think and this and that. And we open with that. That's why I had you seated. We ought to be coming into a time where the mind of Christ ought to be operating among us. You say, what do I do if I don't know? Be quiet. Say, what do I do with my teenager? What do I do with a loved one that isn't serving their Lord? Should I go in there with gun blazing this afternoon? Be quiet. You're trying to kill all the snakes in your life. Maybe it's the snake in your heart. And we don't like that. We don't like when someone talks personal about our attitude and our spirit and where and my family. Don't talk to me about my... That's why we can't get nowhere. That's why the church spins their wheels. Friends, we need one another. We need a body. You need a church body. You need to learn to work with a church body.
Amen.
We're not playing golf where everything is all about you and your score. Hallelujah, you're so good. I trained, I fasted. We're not in that. We're in a team.
Right.
This is where we have brothers and sisters. We have people that are active and out in the forefront. We have people that are more on the bench.
Right.
We have people that clean the floors, clean the roof. We need everybody.
Amen. Yes.
We need everybody.
I'm trying to get some of you up to the point to say, not all that I have is where I need to be. I need to go further.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
I realize, Lord, I'm not doing away with what the Lord's done. I'm not doing away with justification. It's not that we'll never hear about how a woman should dress or how what should be going. No, that's not it. The church has the right to speak about those things.
Amen.
But that's not the main thing.
Right.
It's getting people to Christ.
Amen.
The word is in your hand.
Yeah.
We're a spoken word people.
Praise
We're being consecrated for the third pull.
Yeah.
This is third pull faith. This is where we're at today. When you talk about this sword, and it's not in Jeffersonville in a little plastic case.
For sure.
That's closed, by the way.
Right.
Can't even see it anymore. So what's it good going to do good for a global bride?
Right.
We got this sword, and it looks like what came down in Brother Branham's hand. It's in a little plastic case.
My goodness.
What has it done for you?
Right.
What's it doing for you now?
Yes.
It's got to be more than a literal sword.
Yes.
This baton that's being passed, this word that is in your hand, this message of perfect faith has got to be more than ink and even the English language.
Right.
Hello?
Yep.
It's more than English or French or German or Polish or whatever.
Yes.
Well, Brother John, I've heard that. Brother John, if it doesn't come to me the way that I like it, I'm going to put up my walls and my little hackles.
Oh, dear.
And you're going to know that I don't like it.
My goodness, Lord.
Then we're going back to first grade.
Yeah.
Then we're going back to kindergarten.
Yes. So good.
True.
Perfect faith has got to be more than a book. Now some of you will put it on your shelf or lay it down. And now this message, the token, will take its place. And we're going to listen to this message. Man, that's a nice message. But some of you read it. Oh, I got to get through it. I'm doing pretty good. I did it. And then some of you are like, Lord, I need to stop right there. Do I have what he just said?
Yeah, that's right.
Would I have been able to put the blood on the door? And do I have the Holy Spirit?
So
and maybe you get down on your knees and you begin to pray.
Yeah.
This is the sword I'm talking about. I'm going to leave this up here for the next month. Because I want the word to not be in our hearing only.
Yeah.
Because the word that's coming into our hands by the Bible teachers, by the word, Can I have just a few more minutes? This victory day that Brother Branham spoke about right after the seals. A V-Day where Jacob had a wrestling party. Where he wrestled all night with the Lord. I'll just be honest with you. Some of us need more of a wrestling. And say, do I really have what I'm talking about? Lord, I want more than just a church doctrine.
Yes, Lord.
Have a nice little church. God wants to have a church. Do y'all remember how he was cowardly and afraid? And God wrestled with him and touched that secret place of his life, and his walk changed. He became a limping prince. Now he had courage to fight the whole army. Esau said, I'll furnish you an army. He said, I don't need it. I don't know what your battle is, what your vice is in your life, what's in your mind. I don't know what some of you are facing as being, oh, I gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta. And then when you get it, you find out that don't satisfy. Then it's another thing. Then it's this year, it's this. Then it's a few months later, it's that. Then you're all involved in this, and you gotta have that. Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful if the word became that to us? Just, I got to have more of that. I got to have more of Christ. Come on, somebody. Oh, you're having a prayer meeting. Oh, you're having a Bible study. Or somebody's speaking. Or, oh, I got to hear what the Spirit would say through that brother. Oh, would somebody sing a song that would be an echo of what God's doing in their lives? And not just a song they sang, you know, five times before and they know by heart and everybody falls asleep and is really wishing you'd sit down. Sometimes you wonder, are people feeding their flesh and their ego, or are they really, is that a song from their heart? And we do need more specials around here, by the way.
Amen.
What if Brother John says, well, I don't have a sermon this morning? What if Brother Solomon asked me in the back room and Brother Steve just said, do we have a sermon this morning? No, I don't have a sermon. Okay, we're going to go out and sing a few songs, pray, and then go to our lunch. That might be fine for a Sunday or two. You might say, well, Brother John, wow, you must have had a good time yesterday, Friday. What were you doing? Then Wednesday night, Brother Steve just said, you know what, Brother John, I don't have anything. Let's just have a little song singing service. And then the next Sunday, it's like, well, we don't really have the word. We'll read a little scripture, play a little tape. I'm tired. Let's play a little message. Hallelujah. We haven't done that for a while. Listen to God's prophet. But after a little while, this church needs more than that.
Yes.
You need ministry that's down in the trenches, that can catch the mind of the Lord, that can receive the sword of the word and say, let's go, church.
Amen.
Let's go, believers. Let's go forward in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Let's be strong and of a good courage.
Yes.
I want to close with this, and not in Isaiah. We'll take that another meeting, but I want to close with standing in the gap. This might help somebody. June the 23rd, when Brother Branham was talking about that his brother-in-law, James Fletcher Broy, and how he'd been an alcoholic, and Brother Branham would try to give him some money, and he'd say, no, don't give me money. I'll just go out and buy alcohol with it. A little clothes, a little something's fine. And Brother Branham felt so bad, and he found him one day just living out in a dump somewhere. Brother Branham's driving from Canada on down through to Arizona, and he was thinking, I'm just going to move my wife up to Alaska. I'm just going to take her up there because people aren't receiving my ministry and my word. I think I'm just going to go on up there and be a trapper. This is a picture of the actual place. This is the actual road. There, Brother Jay Kofer has told me he's drove right down there near Lima, Montana. I'm wanting to bring this to the church and make it more personal. This is the seven peaks. When the voice told Brother Branham and said, look at that mountain.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And the three that are higher. One, two, three. The three pools in your life. That happened before Adam. That happened before Brother Branham was born. That mountain was there.
Right. Yes.
God knew all about the first pool, second pool, third pool.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to go up there. Here's a prophet. And Billy punched him on the shoulder. He's just sleeping next to him. Billy Paul wakes up, said, "Daddy, look over there, eastward." I don't know how it happened. I don't know. There on the east side of the road was that burning dump. Miles and miles from any kind of a city, an old rubbish heap dump laying there on the left side of the road. Here's the east side, burning dump. Here's the right side. I've got your name written, three pools, seven peaks. It's your whole life. And Brother Brown was thinking about his family. He'd already talked about having complexes in his family. Maybe think of your family.
Right.
Brother Branham, his wife, he had Billy Paul from the first, Sister Hope, she passed away, then Brother Joseph, Rebecca, Sarah.
Yeah.
Brother Branham's thinking about, I'm just going to take my family. I don't need to deal with all this.
Right.
And God draws his attention and said, that burning dump, an old rubbish heap dump, he brought his attention to that side of the road.
Right.
Let me just say this. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Come on, help me finish strong.
Amen.
We need to keep looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's Hebrews chapter 12, by the way. The author, this is the chapter after Hebrews 11.
Right.
Looking unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Keep your eyes on the three pools. Keep your eyes on those seven peaks.
Yeah.
If you look to the left and you get what you want, you're going to get a dump. That's what you're going to get.
Yep.
Your family, and he said, your wife will leave you. She's not going to live up there. Your children.
Right.
So I'm asking you today, do you want your family or do you want a burning dump? It was the Holy Spirit making this real. Brother Branham, I'll give you happiness and joy in the will of God.
Right.
Or I'll give you dark, cold nights as a spiritual bum out of the will of God.
Right.
And that's where drugs and alcohol and perversion.
Right. Yes.
We'll take somebody.
Yes.
I know we're not first pull, second pull, but the Holy Spirit still knows your name, your address, what you were doing yesterday or Friday night or this past week. And a lot of times by His grace, He won't embarrass you, but He'll speak a message and He'll speak the word and it'll be from a minister. He'll speak under the third pull from the soul realm. Be strong and have a good courage. And if we're not careful, we'll elope right back to our carnal flesh and say, oh, that's a nice message. He's just being positive. No, that was the Holy Spirit trying to bring attention to your life.
Amen.
To lay aside every weight and lay aside all of your unbelief.
Yes.
I'm not asking the Lord to drop back into first pull, second pull for our church.
Right.
I'm asking Him to maintain the third pull ministry, because in that we will receive all that we have need of, our bodies, our spirits, and our souls. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Brother Branham confessed to having a complex. Brother Way, right in the service, he dies at the end of the service.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he was upset at Brother Branham for saying publicly that, Brother Way, you have a complex.
Yeah.
And his heart got under such an anxiety, he dropped dead. Brother Branham's talking about a complex, he said, which is certainly normal among all people.
Right.
So you're not unique and your situation's so different. And just treat that person with kid gloves, Brother John. You can't say that to that. Where are we going?
Right. That's
it. I want to have thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Or keep still.
Yep.
So Brother Branham spoke about this in Standing in the Gap. This is the Branham Tabernacle. This post in the picture on the left-hand side, that's where the Andes family used to all sit. Just all in a row there. I'm just letting you know. This is after the seals when it was changed and added on. It used to be this part was the tabernacle, and they added on a whole nother third. This is the Branham Tabernacle. The picture on the bottom is Brother Branham standing behind the same pulpit. Can y'all see that?
Yes. Yes.
Same curtain, same post, same cross, same shit. What has it produced? And I'm not being funny.
Right. Yeah.
What has it produced?
Yeah. Right.
Where are we today?
Yeah.
What has our chairs produced? What has this pulpit produced?
Yeah.
What is this piano producing? Come on.
Yes.
And that's just the artifacts.
Right.
What is it producing in the people? What kind of people are hearing what we're hearing? And when we walk out of here, what is it producing?
Yeah.
I'm looking at my own life. I'm saying, God, help us not to be sitting in the Branham Tabernacle
yeah.
and walk out and be a people that's different than what's being spoken.
Yeah.
Then we're a bunch of hypocrites.
All right.
People being raised in the message and have children, and their children are saying, you're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites.
My goodness.
And some of it's valid.
Yes, that's also right.
Some of it's very valid.
Yeah.
Our young people, our children are delicate.
That's right.
And we need to convey this love in our families.
Amen.
And in our homes.
Amen.
I'm speaking this as the pastor of this church.
Yeah.
Hello, some of you shut off because it's so late, but I need you. As the pastor of this church,
yeah.
let's not be hypocrites.
Amen.
And people that say we believe the message and walk right out of here, and within minutes we're already saying things, doing things, texting things, conveying things. We need to walk right back in here and march right up here and kneel right down and say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother nor my sister, and who you've been talking about through the week so much. It's you!
Yeah, so good.
Oh, me, you talk about me and my family. You talk about me. God help us. Let us not be a people. We actually did pretty good, Liliana, didn't we? She's going, hallelujah, keep going, Brother John. I know there's the end, and the end. We're at the end time. We're living at a time when end time message tabernacles have got to be more than just a pews and
right.
music and
yeah.
and the prophet standing behind the pulpit. It's got to be the people.
Amen.
We're the swords in our hands.
Amen.
So in the spirit of the message, I have a word to say. Be strong and of a good courage.
Amen.
I say this to every person live or archived or streaming right now. Be strong.
Yes.
Take the word. Encourage yourself in the Lord.
Yes.
Say, I'm a believer. I love the Lord, Brother John.
Amen.
I might be shaking. I might be quivering. I might not have even got a lot out of the service. You still might not know what the third pull is. But you're on your way.
Amen.
We made it to the last slide.
Praise God.
I'm bringing attention to End Time Message Tabernacle. We must have third pull faith.
Amen.
You can look it up if you want to look it up, third pull in the message.
Yep. Good.
Started in 1948 when Brother Branham first recorded saying perfect faith. Over half of those times are after the seven seals. 44 times in this one message, he says, perfect faith, perfect faith, perfect faith. Then when you lay that down after this, I think Monday or Tuesday, please ask the Lord, God, after all of that, keep working on my faith, Lord. I want perfect faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word. Then I have to lay aside the other things in my life that has been producing all of this other stuff. You've got to say, I don't need that no more. I don't want that no more. You've got to say that. Not somebody else. You've got to say, I'm that man. I'm that woman. Can we say amen today? Thank you. A little child, young man. So my closing comments today, you know, Teresa was alive last Sunday morning, but by Sunday night, She had taken her last breath. She's in her 90s, so I don't know if she was in the age before us. I don't know what the Lord's going to hold her accountable for. That's between her and the Lord, but she was a Christian lady. I'll say this in closing. Brother Branham came to perfect faith. The bride is coming to her perfect faith.
Amen.
Brother Branham manifested the third pool. The bride will have a third pool ministry.
Amen.
And that ministry is happening now.
Yes.
And you are involved.
Amen.
You're part of it.
Yes.
And God is making a way for you. God is making a way for us.
Amen.
That is so good.
Praise God.
I wish some of you would just take the words you're hearing.
Amen.
It would do you so good.
Amen.
You wouldn't walk out so condemned. You wouldn't walk out so depending on your past as labeling your future. You walk right out and say, I have nothing to do with my past.
Amen.
All the negative, all the darkness, all the words, all the slander. I'm not motivated by what people say about me, whatever people think about me. Onward, Christian soldiers. I love the Lord. I believe this message. And if it comes to my attention that I'm failing, God forgive me. I'm sorry if I offended you, but let's go on and serve the Lord.
Amen.
You cannot have perfect faith without having perfect love. They're kinsfolks. And if you want to be involved in a wedding or in a relationship that's of God, you've got to have love. And you've got to have faith. And you've got to have forgiveness. You take forgiveness out of that, there's going to be a breakage. You take love out of a marriage, there's going to be a breakage. You take love out of a church, people's going to be offended. And you don't always focus on the drama. You focus on the Word. Stay with the Word. I want this church to, let's be growing up. Stay with the Word. Stay with good character. Onward, Christian soldiers. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Y'all did so good and gave me a lot of grace today. God bless you. I believe you're a third pool believing church. I'd like to hear more messages on the third pool then. Not kindergarten, first grade. Okay, we've gone there. Third grade, fourth grade, and we all walk down the aisle. Everybody's got their phones and kindergarten graduation. That's wonderful. But God wants mature men and women that can stand up and know their position.
Yes. Amen.
Not just 5-6-year-olds, but 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds say, God spoke to me.
Right.
I have thus saith the Lord, or I'm keeping still.
Yeah.
I don't need a lot of toys and a lot of little trinkets. Just give me Jesus.
Amen.
My, what if our whole church in a majority was that way?
Amen.
Hello?
Because
Brother Branham, he was wise. He said, in every church, make believers, unbelievers, believers. Focus on the believers.
Amen.
Keep feeding the believers. It's all about people getting to Christ.
Amen.
People come, people go. Unbelievers come in, check you out, come to the fair, you witness them, come in, sit there, maybe look a little bit. Make believers come in, maybe stay for a while. This goes wrong, that goes sideways. It's too hot, it's too cold, music's too loud. Preachers are too this and that, and the deacon's wife this, and they're gonna go. But God give our little church some real believers that just want Jesus, want the Word, want the message of the hour preached in its intensity and with its delivering demonstration.
Amen.
Can the church say amen?
Amen?
The message is not letter only, quote only, put it on the screen only. It's got to have where the Spirit can come behind it and real conviction can cause real change.
Amen.
Real conviction can cause a change.
Amen.
I think it was Sister Luana came in. She was a Jezebel. Come in. She had all kinds of earrings, this and that. And she didn't need nobody to preach on it. No preacher. She just started taking off her earrings, taking off all her whatever. She just knew this presence and this Word has produced it in my life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it just took the Word, just a little nudge, just a little suggestion?
Yeah.
That's a real bride of Christ.
Yeah.
Just a little, this is what my husband likes, this is what the Word has asked me, and okay, I see what you mean, I'm going to lay that, or I can do better. Sister Zion, I can do better.
Yeah.
You know, Brother John can do better. Woe unto him or her that offenses are done through. Offenses will come, but woe to you. That you offend, you hurt, and there's nothing in you. There's nothing in you to acknowledge that. So you just go on, and you're like a bull in a china shop. Be careful about God's people. It's very delicate, friends. Nobody wants to be a preacher or a pastor in this generation. Nobody wants to preach. Do you know why? Because there's all kinds of words and opinions and people. God, make our ministers flames of fire. Make them thunderbolts, Lord, that can be in your presence and preach a perfect word that will produce a perfect faith. Heavenly Father, I bow my head with this congregation, first of all in repentance, asking that you, Lord, would humble us individually and our families. Because sometimes, Lord, as your prophet said, we can have complexes in our families and we talk about things over the table and it becomes a family strain, and then we find out it's not really part of the body. It's not really in unison with the body. And as leaders and as older ones especially, we ought to be sensitive enough to just throw it all in there together with one another and say, Lord, we need you in this hour. Help our complexes not to bring death, like Brother Way falling on the Branham Tabernacle ground and having to be raised from the dead. Some would say, oh, that's wonderful, Brother John. I would say, God, if there's a Brother Way here or a Sister Way or someone that is struggling with complexes and has strong feelings, let them put that under the blood of Jesus. Because the Word is a discerner. The Word discerns the secret matters of our lives. Start with me. Start with this pulpit, Lord. If we've been arrogant or proud, if we've been hypocritical, if there's something my wife is doing or my children are doing or I'm doing that would offend even the least of your children, or would offend another assembly or offend another church, Lord, help us to be more sensitive to what the mind of the Lord is. It's not that we're a bunch of cowards and menial compromisers, that we just are floating down the river with some easy tide, but we're willing to be rainbow trout that are willing to jump up and go forward and go beyond all the adversity, because the sword is in the believer's hands. The sword, the word is in the bride's hands to know what to do and how to do it and know when to use it and know when to pull back. That is in the body. That is in our sisters. That is in our brothers. That is coming into our youth. That is coming into the old generation and the young ones, how we need the Lord today. I'm asking for grace. I'm asking for mercy. I'm asking for the blood of Jesus to be over us today. I want to lift my hand, and I wonder, with every head bowed and my eyes are closed too, who would lift your hand and say, I plead the blood of Jesus over my own life, over my family, over my church, over my loved ones. I want the word. I want this message. Yes, God bless every person. I trust that there's many that have your hands raised that would say, Lord, bring me into this third pull faith. Oh, Jesus, Lord, let it be a true revival sweep through our little church, from our young people and our families. Our children would see a different intensity, another bracket, that we're not a bunch of losers and just a bunch of hypocrites. Oh God, forgive us of that, Lord. I'm asking for miracles and healings to be done, and the mistakes of the past would be covered, and that the blood of Jesus would atone for us, and that we would be filled with the Holy Ghost, and that there would be true born again experiences happen in our little church. God, I'm hungry for it. I'm thirsty to see a group of people raise up that wants more than just a little church here on Bennett Drive or somewhere in Ferndale or Linden. God, I'm hungering and thirsting for a church that wants more of Jesus. They just can't get enough of you. They're intoxicated. They're burdened. They come early. They stay late. They're willing to do anything. They're willing to do more. God, help us, Lord, if we've been negligent, stumbling around in our mental confusion or it's been a snare to others. Forgive us, Lord. Let us pick up our garments today if we've been tripping over our sandals of time. And the time that we've lived, if we failed you, I'm asking for forgiveness. Let this church rise. Let women rise. Let brothers rise. Let us rise up in the name of the Lord. Let us take the sword of your spirit and the word of God and press it to the heart of the enemy and not one another. Or not our own selves, God forbid, that spirit come among us where we just feel like giving up and so frustrated and disappointed with ourselves. We just feel like, oh, I'm not a good Christian. Brother John, this is my last service. Somebody with that kind of a attitude, I pray the Holy Ghost would come to them right now and give them a courage and a strength that is beyond anything they could ever hear or see in their lifetime. May they rise up a mighty army in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blow within the sails of our lives in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah.